Welcome to the Apprentice Approach Podcast, Episode 16, where the ripples far exceed the splash. This is your host, Jack McQueenie. Many Christians struggle with making disciples. They feel busy, overwhelmed, and not qualified. We understand this struggle, which is why we've created a Bible-based framework so any believer can master the art of disciple-making. In today's episode, we continue in our series on marriage, family, and disciple-making. We're back with Terry and Leah Green, who've been married for 54 years and are currently on Navigator staff, have four adult children, 11 grandchildren, and five great-grandchildren. If you missed our last episode, I want to encourage you to go back and listen to it. Terry and Leah share great wisdom on ways they found to maintain perspective in their marriage and continue in making disciple makers, no matter life's demands or the season they're in. But today, we're going to jump into some practical things on what to do to actually disciple someone and how you know where to start and how to partner with our spouse in their personal ministry as they disciple others. Let's dive in. You know, as you've thought about and as you think about the years of experiences that you've gone through and have been in the midst of it, so even with young kids, with teens, and then still try to disciple and meet with other men and women, what have you done to protect yourself from being overwhelmed, moving out of a position of health? Because we all can become unraveled pretty quickly. It doesn't take long at all. Mm-hmm. What have you done to really protect yourself from not getting to that point? Or maybe you have.
Well, no, we haven't. I think we're very protective of our time, and yet our life is full, but we're not pressed into busyness. Uh-huh. When we left the marketplace, we decided we were going to move from being productive to being fruitful and let the Lord teach us what the difference was in that. But I think we did, when we came to Colorado Springs to serve the Navigator ministry at Glen Eyrie, we decided then that there were probably a lot of other opportunities that we were going to be invited into that we would say no to, even though we would probably love to be involved. Mm-hmm. Because our calling, we just feel very strongly that God called us here. Mm-hmm. To do the marriage getaway ministry, closer, whatever else, mm-hmm. any other way we can serve the Glen, as well as one-on-one, and we can pretty much control the times and the volume of that. So we have said no to other organizations or,
yep.
and just had to, uh-huh. so that we would be available. Yeah. Because you can get as busy, yeah. in a lot of really good Christian activities and lose sight of why you're there.
Yeah. Terry, besides saying no, what else have you thought about that has gone into protecting the health of your marriage and even your own walk with God?
Well, it's very easy, like Leah said, to be busy, but it's said about Jesus that he was often busy, but he was never rushed. And so just asking that question, if there's an invitation that comes, does it come with, do you feel a peace about that? That's been the one thing, I think, before we just jump in and say yes, because there's a lot of opportunity. Is there a peace that comes from doing that? And so most of the time, after you've studied about it or prayed about it or whatever, given it time, you figure that out pretty quick, that this could be something more than what we really want to be involved in. And so we'd run that by Leah. You know, we'd spend some time, mm-hmm. thinking about that or praying about that, depending on what the request was. But in most cases, we're pretty committed to where we are and what we're doing until, yeah. God opens the door for something else. Yeah. So it's just a matter of walking, mm-hmm. together, holding hands, and making sure that we're together first.
Yeah. In the midst of the grandkids, great-grandkids climbing.
Oh, there's always room. Yeah.
You know, when we said I do, our commitment was to each other. The rest of that comes along after the,
yeah.
fact. So.
Yeah. Well, I think our audience probably is sitting on the edge of their seat wondering, Leah, what is the difference of being productive versus being fruitful?
Well, I think production for me as an insurance agent was just having to check off the list, having to prove or show that I've accomplished what the companies I worked for expected to be of any value as an agent. And I felt like when I walked away from that, the Lord just set me free from that mindset. And I don't know myself exactly how to define fruit, but I know that the Lord defines that. And so as long as I'm abiding in Him, I know that He brings excess life. He brings fruit that spills over. And I just have to trust Him in that. Mm-hmm. When I hear people share with me maybe changes that have taken place in their lives personally or in their marriages because of our ministry, I just praise God that He's brought forth fruit. And so to me, the difference is Jesus.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Terry, any thoughts on that for you?
Well, for me, as I think through this process of trying to keep our marriage healthy and looking forward to the futures, someone once told me that they realized in their marriage that they don't own each other. Mm. They are married, but it's not an ownership thing. Mm-hmm. We have decided and agreed that we're going to spend the rest of our life together in a marriage relationship. So setting each other free to be who God wants them to be, not who the spouse wants them to be, not trying to remake that person, but setting them free to blossom and bloom in God's economy, not in ours, I think has brought a lot of health to our marriage.
Yeah. Now, I know that's one of the principles you try to get across in our marriage getaway. What other kinds of things during that weekend do you try to hit on in order to help couples in the midst of life?
Well, one of the questions we ask couples when they first come to the weekend is there a difference between two Christians being married and a Christian marriage? And if there is a difference, what is that? And so we want them to be thinking about that as the weekend unfolds, and then we do spend more time talking about that. And the basics are we both headed towards Christ, mm-hmm. or are we both just sharing a home or a life together? And we find that once they've decided and figured out that, yes, we are both headed towards Christ, then all of a sudden the journey becomes a lot easier because we're not trying to include a lot of other things in that.
Yeah, that's good. Well, as we wind down, are there any other things you would like to impress, you would like to share with our listeners as it relates to marriage and this, you know, this idea of apprenticeship and discipleship and that from your experience that you feel like, boy, this is something I'd like to pass on?
I do have something I'd like to share. I cannot tell you the number of couples that come to a marriage getaway that truly need an older couple, godly couple, in their life to mentor them or disciple them, encourage them to become one in their marriage in the Lord and be a godly marriage. And we'll ask couples that we meet with there that want some time alone with us if there's just someone in their church or in their community that they could ask. It's amazing the number of couples that say we don't know or they wouldn't have time for us. And so what I would like to say is that I would like to encourage Christian marriages, and we're not talking about perfect Christian mm-hmm. marriages. We're just talking about committed Christian marriages. For the couples to reach out, look for couples that seem hungry, invite them into your life. And I'll tell you what really got me in this concept was my third daughter said to me as a young married woman one day, and this was years ago, she said, "Mom, I hope you are inviting other women into your life and to disciple them." And she said, too many people wait to be asked. And I can just tell you that it can be very intimidating to ask someone to disciple them mm-hmm. because they don't even really know what they want.
Yeah.
So if God brings someone across your path that seems hungry, I want to encourage you to invite them. and just ask them if they'd like to spend some time and offer discipleship, because you just need to be willing to initiate it. And I would like to just encourage others, whether it's woman to woman, man to man, or marriage to marriage, that we would be willing to initiate.
That's great, Leah. You know, Terry, we talk about how many Christians struggle with making disciples. They feel busy, overwhelmed, and not qualified. Mm-hmm. What would you say to couples who have, they've been entrusted with, you know, they've been helped. It might be in college. It could have been in high school. They might have been in college as a young married couple. And they are busy, overwhelmed, and maybe don't feel qualified. What would you say to couples like that?
Well, the quote that comes to my mind is from Dallas Willard, and he was asked a question similar to that, and he said, all of us have to ruthlessly eliminate hurriedness from our life. Mm. And I thought it was interesting that he used the word ruthlessly eliminate. It doesn't just happen because we think we're going to line item something out. It's something that has to become a lifestyle, because the world is always pressing into us. So I think if we can learn to step back, relax, try to figure out what God's going to do. I know for Leah and I, we prayed for 5 years that God would use us as a couple somewhere. We just thought it was going to be in southern New Mexico. And then to go through the change that we did at the age of 60, moving from New Mexico, becoming full-time NAB staff, that was not on our radar. So I would just say, hold on, wherever you are today, hold on loosely to that, so that God may want to do something more with your life, not only as an individual, but as a couple, and give him the opportunity. But you have to be looking for that and searching, God, what is it you're doing, and how can we be involved?
Yeah, that's great. You know, you did take a step of faith.
Yes.
And, you know, you had a couple that, in Hal and Dee Denny, that deeply committed their lives and invested in you guys. You know, as you look back on that, what stood out during that time, taking that step of faith, that was, you know, that marked you as a couple?
Well, I think since we had been praying for 5 years that God would use us as a couple somewhere, it didn't dawn on us it would be out of state, so to speak, or in another country or whatever. It was just a matter, I think, of being open. And so whenever the invitation came and we'd been hanging around Hal and Dee and watching their life a little bit and seeing what this whole thing looked like, we just kind of glanced at each other after the invitation was given and said, you know, this could be the answer to a five-year prayer. So it was one of those things. And then we said, well, we still have to pray about this. Are we hearing this correctly? And
yeah.
So it was the step of faith, I think, of saying, well, if this is of God, then we have to take that one step at a time and trust him as he opens and closes doors. So I hope that answers that question.
Yeah.
You know, another thing in that transition that is interesting, too, is we had so much respect and admiration for Hal and Dee. The thought of even stepping into their shoes, so to speak, was the most frightening thing we've ever experienced, because everything they did seemed sacred.
Yeah.
And yet the way they did it was not our personality. And so, and that's not wrong, it's just different.
Yep.
And so Terry and I spent the first year trying to figure out, how do we own this thing? Because we don't want to touch something that's been so powerful and effective and blessed through 13 years. But you know what? He just made it personal.
Yeah.
And let us step into it and walked us through how to do it in a way that was very real and authentic in our hearts and in our lives and in our communication. So I would want to encourage couples to not try to be like someone else.
Yeah.
Just let Jesus shine through you and just see what he'll do.
I remember that first year seeing Terry trying on Hal's armor. He couldn't get it on.
Not a good fit, that's right.
Oh, Terry, how about you? Is there anything you'd like to share with our listening audience?
Well, I would, you know, a lot of people, when they see Leah and I together, they think, well, these guys must have it all together. Mm. And that's not true. Leah and I are completely opposites. Our personalities are different. The way we do things are different. We used to kid each other that God gave Leah the gift of work and he gave me the gift of recreation. That creates a lot of problems in a lifestyle. But you learn how to let those things work themselves out as you both follow Christ. And so I would just say, take it easy and set each other free. See what God's going to do for you.
That's great. Well, I think If you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit about the MGA, our marriage getaway, and the frequency of when it is, there may be some couples out there listening that might want to attend this.
Well, we do offer those. They are on the website, and I'm assuming that that will be part of this. But they're on the website, and they happen about 7 or 8 times a year.
Okay.
We do not have marriage getaways in December or January for various reasons. Traveling in and out of Colorado is not the best. But those are all on the website. They start on Thursday evening with supper, and there's a lot of free time if you look on the website as to what the schedule looks like. But it's mostly what we would consider to be chat times. These are not lectures. There's plenty of chat time, a lot of time for you to spend together hiking and just having a time with each other and a time with God.
Yeah. And I know a number of the couples have remembered and referred back to their time with you as you get personal time with each one. And I think that's just tremendous.
Yeah.
And what a great model. You know, I think you have shared this the way Hal had done that and others had done that with you. The things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, yes, and trust a reliable man to be qualified to teach others also. Our commitment to 2 Timothy 2:2 in the context of marriage is
absolutely
what a beautiful representation of that. Well, we are so grateful for you taking the time to be with us, and we don't take that for granted. Thank you.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
It's always just so good to be with Terry and Leah Green. We've heard from them on some real practical ways they disciple someone, what they do during their time, and how they decide that. They also shared some great insight on how to partner with your spouse in their personal ministry, while maintaining a healthy perspective as we serve our spouse. We hope you've enjoyed this episode, this learning community, and feel encouraged and equipped. And if the idea of ripple effect disciple making is a topic you want to learn more about, or if you want more resources on the topic of marriage, parenting, and being a disciple maker, head over to our website at www.theapprenticeapproach.org. Again, for more on The Apprentice Approach, including other podcast episodes, resources, our blog, and to sign up for emails, visit our website, theapprenticeapproach.org. And if you haven't subscribed to The Apprentice Approach podcast in iTunes, do it today. If you know of someone that you think this might be helpful, please pass on our website address to them. Until next time, this is your host, Jack McQueenie, believing God for generations of men and women like you.